You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Well, winter is still happening, and the temperatures have been bitterly cold for the last week or so.
Keeping with our Winter Food Friday themes, we asked regular guest Lori Skelton to take on a big assignment, chili. For the last few weeks, she's been cooking up all different kinds of chili. She's here to share what she's learned along the way.
And we want to hear from you on this. Do you have a favorite chili recipe? And what do you think are the essential ingredients for chili? Lots of people have a secret ingredient, maybe chocolate, tortilla chips, crazy stuff, peaches. What is yours? What do you think it takes to make a chili? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Lori Skelton is a Food Friday regular, one of our in-house foodies here at WPR. Lori, welcome back.
This was a good one to come back on.
This is a lot of fun. Well, you know, here's a complicated question that I didn't know was a complicated question. How do we define chili?
That is a complicated question. When you go back to where it first got started in the American consciousness, you do have the cowboys, the cattle drives. What the camp cooks used to do is they would take dried meat and pound it with suet, with onions, and with dried chili peppers. They'd take that concoction, dry it into bricks, and then have that to boil into chili along the trails. And this has been a debate pretty much for the last month. What is chili? There are Malcolm Brett insists that chili doesn't even have tomatoes in it. It is just that beef, onions, peppers, maybe some herbs, and that's it. I know one Facebook friend of mine mentioned that his family recipe is still called chili brick. They put together the peppers and the meat ahead of time and then freeze it and then pull that base out of the freezer and then add other stuff to it. When you started adding things like corn or especially beans, Eric Ajanek told me that's a result of the world wars, when you were encouraged to find things that were going to stretch the meal when you didn't have as much meat. And for some people, when I talked to them in this last month, they insisted that chili has to have those added things in it. And when I said, why? What's the culinary history? They said, there's no history. That's just what I grew up eating. And so this is a dish that people do get very, very passionate about. Whatever the history of the food is in terms of America, or even before that, say, Columbus showed up, I know that there is evidence that the Incas, the Aztecs, the Mayans had mixtures of beef and beans and some sort of pepper long before Columbus showed up.
But the beans are kind of contentious, right? Because not everybody thinks that beans belong in chili, which blew my mind. I thought that was, you know, what chili was.
That does seem to start with Texas. And then the San Antonio chili queens, they were the first ones to start selling chili by the bowl. And they did not have beans in theirs. The San Antonio chili stand at the 1893 Columbian Exposition in Chicago, no beans in that chili. Beans are pretty much a 20th century addition. And so there are a lot of people, especially if you're from Texas, who say that if it has beans in it, it ain't chili. Then again, there are some people who say that if you serve it over macaroni, it ain't chili. There are some people who say that if you don't have an animal protein in it, it's not chili. There are some people who say vegetarian chili ain't chili. For me, chili is about the seasoning rather than the other ingredients in it. I love a fair amount of heat. I also love a fairly strong flavor. I tended to use more chili powder than what was called for in the recipes I tested this month, and I usually add some kind of fresh chili as well, fresh pepper as well, be it green pepper or jalapeno, poblano, anchos. I'll find some way to get that in there as well.
Well, you announced your presence with authority in this project. You pushed the envelope as far as you possibly could. The first one was a fruit chili.
I thought this was a joke. But somebody had mentioned that they'd had a chili with fruit in it. And the first thing I Googled fruit chili, the first thing that came up was something on the Tabasco brand website. They call it Caribbean fruit chili. And they start off with fruit juice. They they suggest things like peach or orange or papaya or pineapple. And then you put in cubes of fruit, like strawberries and mango and pineapple. After you have simmered your chili powder and your garam masala in that fruit juice, then you add your fruit and you add some coconut milk and you add a lot of Tabasco and some brown sugar and lime and just a little bit of tequila. And I tried it thinking, well, this is okay. I'm going to take this into work and everybody's going to laugh me off seventh floor. Everybody loved it. Everybody loved it. My favorite suggestion came from Ann Strangehamps on To the Best of Our Knowledge. She called it refreshing. She said it would be a great thing to include with brunch. I'll give her that. I am not the biggest Bloody Mary fan, but I can see the merit of having something cool and spicy at the same time when you're having a late brunch meal. And yeah, I think this actually would be a really nice addition on a Sunday morning brunch table.
I missed that one. I don't know how. It's not cool that I missed it. It sounds like it was really interesting, but does that one stand up as an entree? Would you sit down to have a bowl of that with a piece of cornbread, or is it sort of its own animal?
I could see having a small bowl of that alongside your scrambled eggs or your omelet. I could definitely see having that with a sweeter dough. I don't know if I'd go cornbread, but there are recipes out there for lighter cornmeal muffins or biscuits that have like raisins or currants in. This would be an amazing accompaniment to that.
All right, well, let's go to the polar opposite now. Fruit chili to, you made it all beef, no beans chili. So where's this recipe from?
If you're going to go no beans, you got to go Texas. And for years, everyone was asking Lady Bird Johnson for her chili recipe, to the point that the White House, while the Johnsons were in office, had cards printed up with Mrs. Johnson's recipe on it, what she called the Pedernales River Chili. This was 4 pounds of ground meat, onion, garlic, oregano, cumin, chili powder, canned whole tomatoes, hot sauce, water, and salt. I thought this was the most boring chili I've ever made.
I was going to say, if you ever open a restaurant, you actually said, I don't like this chili. You guys might not like it either. Get a marketing person if you ever open a restaurant.
Well,
that wasn't a real good sales job.
Again, everybody loved it.
Like,
but this was one chili I thought was really, really interesting. Almost all the time, somebody would take a bite and pronounce it delicious and then immediately say, what could I put this on? Mm-hmm. This was not something that people looked at as on its own, as an entree on its own. It's like, okay, I'd use this in my tacos, or I'd put this on a Coney dog, or I want this on macaroni, or...
Right, I was just going to say, it sounds just like my grandparents' recipe, which I thought was a little too essentialist for me. It was boiled down to its purest possible state, but they always served it on spaghetti noodles.
They served it on spaghetti. You suggested garlic bread?
Like our garlic bread or Texas toast, I thought it'd be really good on, yeah.
And it certainly would, but here again, if you're somebody especially who's used to having beans or other vegetables or something in it, this may strike you as a little bit austere, and you're going to want to have something with it. But again, if you're from Texas, this really is where you come from.
And you also made a pork chili, and this is a red pork chili. Tell us a little bit about what went into that one.
I've made pork chilies before, always with a green accompaniment. Tomatillas, milder green chili, some kind of salsa verde is going to go with pork. So I was very surprised to find from Gourmet Magazine about 15 years ago a red pork and bean chili. You start off by sautéing bacon, and then taking your 4 pounds of pork shoulder, cubing it, not grinding it, and sautéing it in the bacon fat. One of the things that this particular chili had in the mix was a cup of strong brewed coffee, in addition to the beans and the jalapenos and the garlic and all the good things you throw in there. I tasted this chili about 15 minutes after it started to simmer. This was a chili that, after a short amount of cooking time, already had the level of flavor complexity that most chilies only attain when they've been bubbling on the stove for a couple of hours and when they've sat for a day. So one thing I'm going to keep at the back of my mind, whether or not I'm making this particular pork chili, if you need to boost flavor in something, think about adding some coffee. That really seemed to do a lot for adding the flavor. This was probably my favorite chili of the entire experiment. I've never had a red pork chili before, and I'm in love with this.
We're talking to Food Friday regular Lori Skelton about a lot of different twists on chili.
And we're taking your calls right now. Well, how do you define chili? We've been finding out about a different expectations. Some say no beans, some say beans, some say it's got to have meat. What do you think? What does it take to make chili? And what is your secret ingredient? Coffee, maybe? Maybe tortilla chips, chocolate? Let us know. And what do you like to put on it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up this discussion and check out a recipe we have on the Facebook page after a look at the news with Noah Ovshinsky. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation with Lori Skelton about chili on this Food Friday.
And we're taking your calls. What is your favorite kind of chili? What's the secret ingredient that makes it awesome that you gotta have in it? What's the best chili you've ever had? What is chili? How do you define it? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We've got a recipe for Twisted Sisters chili we'll get to in just a moment here on the air. That's posted on the Facebook page. First, we'll go to a caller. We've got Chad on the line in Milwaukee. Hi, Chad.
How are you?
Good. What do you got for us in the chili department?
First of all, I don't think modern chili is chili without tomato juice. That's a key ingredient. I use about 5 or 6 different meats in my chili, and with the ground beef, I cook it with taco seasoning first and then throw it in the pot. And I also use tender cuts of red meat, maybe a tenderloin. I'll cube that up and throw it in too.
Let me be clear, Chad. Are you talking you make 5 or 6 different kinds of chili with their own meat, or your one batch of chili has 5 or 6 different kinds of meat in it?
One batch of chili with 5 or 6 different meats.
Okay, I heard 2. Ground meat. Okay.
Ground beef or ground turkey. Some kind of ground sausage. We'll use Italian sausages. We'll use the tenderloin, cubed beef or stew meat. Basically anything.
Wow.
Anything we have in the fridge.
Chad, thanks a lot. So he's going a lot of different meats, probably a lot of rich, varied flavor there, Lori.
And I'm intrigued by the idea of taco seasoning, because the taco seasonings I'm used to are going to be a little bit sweeter than a chili powder blend. And I'm also very intrigued when he says tomato is key, because something like the chicken chili I tried didn't have tomatoes in it. Texas chili may not have tomatoes in it, but for some, the acidity is needed. That's interesting.
Well, thanks a lot for that. And I guess for people who don't want to put 5 or 6 kinds of meat in their chili, there is a vegetarian option that you explored. And this one, I would have said you were getting a little too crazy, Lori. I would have said, Lori, dial it down.
Okay.
Peaches and chili, but you did it, and it was amazing.
You saw the Super Bowl ad where Budweiser said, we didn't make a pumpkin peach beer, and then Abita came back a week later and said, yeah, we made a pumpkin peach beer, and it was pretty good. I got inspired to see, is it possible to do some kind of pumpkin peach chili? I found pumpkin chili recipes on the internet, but they were all calling for pureed pumpkin. I wanted to see if I could find something that was using cubes of fresh pumpkin. Actually, I couldn't find fresh pumpkin at this point, but I did use butternut squash, corn, and beans, which is the three sisters in agriculture and cooking. And I let that simmer for an hour, and then I added some bags of frozen peaches. I was amazed. I thought, again, people are going to laugh at me. There are carnivores on WPR staff who were telling me I didn't miss the meat with this.
No, you didn't.
It was a good, sturdy veggie chili, and then that kick of sweet with the peaches just made everybody delighted.
Well, in doing something like this without meat, I think one of the big concerns is always, where's the texture going to come from? And that's, I guess, where the squash came in?
It's one of the reasons why I wanted to use cubes of the vegetable rather than a pumpkin puree. I do think you need some texture. I like having something to chew.
It was a little, you like it spicy. So this one was spicy, but it did just fine with some sour cream on top. So it wasn't too far. It wasn't as crazy as it sounded, I guess. It still tasted like a traditional but different chili.
And this is the recipe we've got on the Facebook page. And if you don't want it so spicy, dial back on the amount of chili powder you use, maybe dial back on the amount of poblanos you put in, maybe skip the can of chili and adobo, and then put your peaches in later to simmer so that they'll even taste fresher.
That's Twisted Sisters Chili. We've got it on the Central Time Facebook page as we talk chili on Food Friday with Lori Skelton. We'll go to the phones again, and Lisa is with us in Appleton. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. My mom grew up during the Depression years, and they always in the family added spaghetti noodles and cubed potato. And I just talked to the only living relative yet, her sister, and she said the potatoes were really just to cut the acidity of the tomatoes. So for whatever that's worth, that's how our family did it.
Interesting, Lisa. Thanks. So another, as with the beans, the potatoes, well, the noodles were there to maybe stretch it out during the Depression, but potatoes to cut the acidity.
And yet they still felt the flavor of the tomato needed to be in there. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? You could have just omitted the tomatoes, but this is someone who wanted that balance.
Right. Well, that's an interesting one. Have you heard of that before?
I've never heard of potatoes in chili. But then again, I tend to shy away from the macaroni, the spaghetti end of it. I tend to like my chili with just beans and corn being the carbs in there. Normally, I'd say yes on pasta and potatoes, but this is one time where I back off.
Bit of a purist on this one, Lori.
Oh, yeah.
After all we've talked about, yeah. Nat, you're a purist. Okay.
Okay.
I had to call you out on something. All right. Well, thank you, Lisa. Appreciate that. Potatoes. And let's go next to David in Sparta. Hi, David.
Hey. Good afternoon. Pasta has no place in anybody's chili.
Here we go.
I use, my favorite is venison, shredded venison, not ground. It just doesn't have the right texture if you use ground meat of any sort. But just, and chipotle peppers, and just keep throwing stuff in until it tastes right. And let it sit overnight.
I do think most chili does benefit from letting the flavors talk to one another. I wasn't able to make a venison chili this time around, but I've had venison chili in the past, and you're right. There is something about that assertive cut of meat that is just amazing with chipotle.
Are you starting to feel like that there's nothing you can't put in chili? I'm starting to feel like you can put anything in it.
I guess it depends on where you come from, what your chili background is. Like I say, a month ago, I wouldn't have thought that fruit chili would have worked. And
now you're a believer.
I don't know as I'd have it for every meal, but it's nice to have it in the arsenal.
Definitely.
All right, back to our callers now. We've got Mike on the line in Madison. Mike, hi.
Hi. So as a former vegetarian for years and years who went back to the Wisconsin lifestyle of eating venison, I'll give you my veggie recipe for chili. And what I did is your standard chili, but in order to add the meat-type aspect back into it, I take the large portobello mushrooms, the big ones that are 6-8 inches in diameter, so you get thick cubes, and you cut them into about 3/4-inch cubes, and I marinate them overnight first in like a teriyaki sauce mixed with a little Worcestershire sauce and lots of cardamom and a little bit of taco seasoning. Marinate those overnight, and then I add those into the chili at the very last minute, about a half hour before I'm going to serve it. Just enough to heat up the mushrooms and make them slightly soft, but it still gives you that chewy chunk of meat feeling, and with the cardamom and the teriyaki.
Where did you come up with cardamom? That is brilliant.
Oh, cardamom is my biggest secret for my meat chili. Mm. For my meat chili, my two secret ingredients for my venison chili is lots of cardamom and my secret starter base, which is spicy V8.
Wow. Mm. Well, the secrets are out there. Cardamom.
Oh,
I like the mushroom, the portobello mushroom idea, too, though. That's got the texture, and then with that teriyaki, that's going to give it a different kind of tang,
too. Yeah, that surprises me. Can you see that, Lori?
I was not expecting the cardamom, but listening to this, I got to get back in the kitchen this weekend.
I could tell you were having a moment there. Mm-hmm. You sat up straight in your chair.
That really sounds amazing.
Right.
I love using French four spice, which is cardamom and white pepper and a few other things, but I never would have thought in chili.
Wow.
All right. Well, we'll expect another batch in the next couple of days. Lori, thank you so much for your hard work. You made a lot of chilies. They're all really good.
Absolutely. Glad to share it.
That's Lori Skelton. She's a Food Friday regular and one of our in-house foodies here on WPR. You can head over to the Central Time Facebook page. Still interested in hearing your take. What has to be in chili? What should never be in chili? And how do you make it? And while you're there, you can find Lori's recipe for the Twisted Sisters chili. That's one of the veggie options. Could probably mix a little meat in if you wanted to as well to really make it pop. You can find that all over at the Central Time Facebook page.
Yeah, tell us about those secret ingredients. We've heard about coffee, cardamom. What else do you think belongs in chili and gives it that little kick? Let us know on the Central Time Facebook page.